Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome back to the Prep to Pro NBA Draft Podcast. My name is Ben Pfeiffer here with Max Carlin as always and Petey Webb at Above the Break 3, continuing our discussion on the combo bigs of the 2021 draft class and some more 2021 and related stuff for our Catching Eye segment. So thank you all for listening and let's get into the episode. The wait is finally over. A triple header of fun is upon us this week. Football's in full effect, with many teams strutting their stuff, and the MLB playoffs are in full swing. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Whether you progress or not.
Should we move on to the final one of our weirdo morass of bigs, Greg Brown?
Sure, let's talk about Greg Brown. Like you said, played with Cade Cunningham, Texas Titans, ridiculous vertical, you know, horizontal athlete. He and Cade were a match made in heaven. Having a lob, he's probably never in his career gonna have a lob threat or a passer like Cade to play with.
And Cade won't have a lob threat as good as Greg Brown.
No, Greg Brown is like an all time like wingy forward lob threat. I mean, his vertical explosiveness is unbelievable. But that manifests obviously as like a play finisher in transition, even running some pick and rolls as a cutter. All of that's unbelievably overwhelming, and I think it's going to continue to be. And then defensively, you know, the quick jump, some of the rotations he's able to make, even if the processor itself isn't that great, I think, you know, just the tools, at least at the level he's playing at, totally cover for that, which obviously is a concern of mine going forward, going up levels, is that, as you know, the thresholds for decision making, speed and you know, acuity go up. I don't know if Brown's going to compete there, but right now, and I think for the foreseeable future, he's going to be just fine there. The concerns with him are, again, like, what does he like do on offense? Because he's not a five.
I think that his athletic ability is crazy enough that he can do enough as like a roll man, a cutter, a just like cleanup garbage guy.
I think, I don't know, I'm less sold on that as he gets to the NBA. I mean, I think he definitely will be able to do that, like, for sure.
He's, like, really, really special as a vertical athlete. Like, who in the NBA is better than him other than Zion?
Ja. I mean, I think that he's one of the four best athletes in America in terms of this high school class, which has some absolutely ludicrous athletes.
Yeah, he's really special. I feel like, I mean, PD, what do you think about literally everything else in his game besides the, like, one-of-a-kind vertical athleticism?
So I think that something that we need to talk about before we get there is the frame.
Yeah.
He's not as, like, he's from football country, but he's not as built as you want in terms of physical development. Talked to Poehler about this, and we all think that one leg is longer than the other, which the history of that is super concerning. It's very hard to fix, and it generally can lead to some, overcompensation injuries. Obviously don't want that for anybody, but I haven't really gotten a firm hold on what can be done structurally to overcome that. Especially for a guy who's as like hilariously athletic as Greg Brown is. He took a lot of threes in high school. His attempt rate is like almost 40.
Oh, from geez. What?
Yeah, it's 40 from self-recorded stats. He got to the line a lot, which is encouraging. With skinny guys, you can find some issues, but he like tries to dunk everything possible, so he gets fouled at a ton. How do you guys feel about his defensive awareness? Because like to me, he should be shooting guard fours or like ones.
Love it. Like I said, I think like a lot of it doesn't matter at this stage because of the tools. Where like it doesn't matter if he's two steps late. His two steps like are going to be like quicker and more explosive than a guard's five steps. Like he's going to get there and spike a shot that, you know, the majority of basketball players in the history of the planet would never be able to sniff. But I think just from like a raw processing standpoint, I think he misses rotations, you know, to the point where like there's ones that I'm like, someone in his athletics should be getting that every single time. And he doesn't get it every single time, which I think is concerning.
Yeah, the stocks in EYBL were a little discouraging.
Yeah.
Having another excellent communicator on his team with Cade.
Right. Well, like, I mean, he's doing good like as a team defender, but like he should be better given his tools to me. And then just like some of the perimeter awareness and rotation to me also isn't great. Like a straight, I'm also like, I think his mobility, like he moves a little weird, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because one of his legs is longer.
Yeah, he moves weird. It's like the recovery tools and like the explosion and like that's all so elite, but like I don't really like much of what else he has on defense, so I'm concerned about that.
Yeah, I think that he kind of has to be a fast twitch rotation guy in terms of like hunting passing lanes. He's a guy I would have loved to see go to Florida State. That would have been amazing, just to have him in the rotation machine.
Texas is going to be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think that a thing that stands out when you watch him in high school is he takes so many sidesteps and step backs, which like is fine, but the balance on them is so bad.
He likes tough shots.
He really likes
tough shots.
Dunks and tough jumpers. Like that's kind of the diet for Greg Brown.
Yeah, and I mean, he's good for an East Bay a game, which is also really fun. But I think that getting him stabilized is more of a challenge than it is for pretty much everybody else because of the leg deficiency. So like it's going to take a very intensive training staff effort to make sure that every single jumper he takes the jumper and lands on balance for basically every prospect since T-Mac, who I believe had the same issue and also had a degenerative knee condition from landing on the same leg over and over again. I'm not 100% on that T-Mac. It's like a pretty solid. I think I have the list in the Greg Brown breakdown, but I cannot find it at this moment. I have worries about this Texas situation. I think that we'll get a hint for what work has been done on his body with like when he just takes jumpers off the movement. Because I mean, he went to Texas and that's kind of what they have in terms of offensive skill. So we'll see when he takes his first, you know, sidestep three, which I think that like I was impressed with his space creation.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of like how much like people try to stay close to him because like the handle's a little shaky, but he covers some ground on those.
Yeah.
Well, it's because I mean, like there's just so much explosion on that step back. Like the power, it's just like the most powerful like step back space creation.
He's also huge. Like he's just a large person taking step back jumpers. Like PD, do you have confidence in him as like a pick and pop three guy eventually?
Maybe. I didn't like how he set screens. I know that that's sort of an underpicked part thing, but like it's not KD where he's just like, I'm not doing this because it's above my pay grade. But I thought that he was an okay screen setter for Cade in the Texas side stuff. He didn't do a whole bunch of screen setting because he was a primary grader in his high school situation. The passing reads are slow. I think that he can pick out some okay passes. He doesn't have necessarily everything in his bag in terms of release location and release placement or and pass placement.
Yeah.
But he picked out some good reads. I mean, he's faced doubles basically, you know, every second of his high school career. So I think that he handles that pressure well.
And he has some willingness too, I think.
Yeah.
He's not a black hole, I don't think.
No, I think that he's a better passer at the same stage than like Jeremy Grant.
Mm-hmm.
Who's like an archetype that has similarity of just dudes who it's like, if they run through the paint, do not jump with it.
Yeah. I mean, and that's kind of the idea, right? That like, he's a legitimately special vertical athlete. And there's a lot you can do with that. Like there is a lot of utility in that, and that doesn't mean draft them in the top five, but you know, if you're talking this group of weird, like forwardy big guys who don't necessarily have a position, but have some abilities that are really valuable, like he has a case.
Yeah. I mean, I get the case for Greg Brown. Like there's certainly, you know, talk about the special stuff. Like he has the special stuff like that just most other basketball players simply never will.
Yeah, I think that he's somebody that could be a couple different archetypes depending on how things shake out. The free throw percentage has risen a little bit over time. Like he gets the line a ton, and he's above set. He was above 70% for his senior season after being at 60 for the UIBL season. So I think that there is there's reason to be optimistic on the touch. For me, it's going to come down to like how good of a rotational events creator he is in this year, and how much balance work he can do on the shot.
Yeah, and I think that'll be a big thing to watch for him in college, because like Ben said, it really can be hard to parse when you're watching AAU, especially with like sometimes the organization level of AAU games is very, very low, and defenses are weird and aggressive, and like it's a very different game from college in a multitude of ways. And I think it's much easier to discern in college if a guy is late because he doesn't see something and can still, you know, what would have been a highlight block in AAU, you know, will be an open layup in college. Not 100% of the time, and that will get more extreme in the NBA when you have to be even faster.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think he's going to be an interesting guy to watch. I think there will be some very impressive highlights,
I would like him to be super foul heavy in college, mm-hmm. Because that, you know, betrays an activity level. Mm-hmm. Not that he was too cool at times with Texas Titans. I just would like to see the mentality of like, I go up and I get everything. And even if that's foul heavy, like he can learn how to do it. But the him being conservative with fouls because he has a creation burden for me would be a negative or a sign of lesser development than a sign of a positive one.
How much of an offensive role do you think he's going to get at Texas, PD?
Everything he can handle.
Yeah,
that might not be great.
Yeah, I mean, interested to see how that's. Yeah, I don't know.
So the final two guys that we have that are like, I don't really think part of this group, but we're going to mention. I think that they're just straight up a lot better than these guys for the most part. And they're different. But they're Jalen Johnson and Evan Mobley. Jalen Johnson, I think is much more of a ball handler. He's a 6'8", 6'9", wingy forward, but like ball handler and also a big, basically he's a basketball player, who's going to Duke. Total weirdo. Like, I don't know that he's a better shooter than Isaac Okoro, but he is a far more willing shooter than Isaac Okoro. Yeah. I have a lot of skepticism of how he scores in the half court. I don't really know that he does this. He in transition, in semi-transition, is a pretty awesome vertical athlete with his just like smoothness and quickness off the ground and elevation. I like him a good amount as a finisher with both hands, but like, I don't know that he can really self-create in the half court. But the flip side of that is that maybe he's a big. So I think, PD, you're pretty huge on Jalen Johnson. You want to give the pitch for Jalen Johnson?
So this is sort of the backup pitch for Jalen Johnson. I remain very high on him as a creator, just because guys who are that big, who are that strong, and have that high of passing instinct are, you know, worth their weight in gold. And unlike Scotty, he's really willing to shoot and presents different problems for a defense. He's not the defensive prospect that Scotty is, but this is the backup bet that, like, if all of that is true, but he can't quite create enough, you can use him as a small ball four. And the idea that he can have prospecthood in two different extremely valuable archetypes makes him an interesting player in this class, and that he may be a creator, depending on how Coach K uses him. But he also may be used as, like, a short roll guy who now you're giving him a tilted defense, and the shots that he finds most difficult, those off the dribble threes, are don't have to be worried about. It's one dribble and a good decision for a guy who's a great athlete, a flat, an incisive passer, who also has a handle. So I think that that's an interesting pathway to value.
I think that's
Do you trust him rotationally in that role defensively?
Long term, yes. Right now, no. He gets up for matchups is probably the best way I would describe his defense. Mm-hmm. Like when they played Knight Riders and they absolutely housed Knight Riders, he was into that game in the Durant rotation. But like if he, there were times where I was like, okay, he feels he's too good to, you know, make this rotation, which is fine for a high schooler. Duke is a good place to go get yelled at if you miss a rotation. So like that's, you know, that's the thing that Duke is good for. But like I think that in a world where he fails as a creator, he like he seems like the type of kid who understands that like keeping him and making good rotations keeps him in the league. And while offensive feel and defensive feel aren't always sympathetic traits, they do inform the other. And like knowing where the offense wants to put the ball will help him with defense long term.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of points where with Jalen Johnson where he kind of, you know, is able to get a better shot than he does. I mean, like you said, like he likes like a lot of the tough threes and like tough, like falling away mid-range floater kind of shots that he never should ever be taking, where like he'll have a step or just be able to stride by a defender and just doesn't take it. So I really like the idea of him playing in a more secondary role, whether that's as a big or even like with some reps on the perimeter. Like, obviously, that'll depend a lot on his shooting, but I think that could be, like, an interesting long-term avenue for him to be, like a really successful, like, big weirdo perimeter secondary. But I like the idea of him, you know, having that duality where there's the creator upside, a lot of stuff. And if it doesn't hit that, there's the floor is, like, a really complimentary, really useful complimentary big there. So, yeah, I mean, I also am, like, pretty high on Jalen Johnson. I don't think I'm as high as PD, as you are, PD, but I'm very into Jalen Johnson in this class. So.
Where would you take him in the 2020 draft?
Number one.
Would you? I assume PD, you would take him number one as well.
Yeah. I mean, if we made the case for Scotty Barnes, like.
Yeah, that's true. Although we made this case for Scotty Barnes in a very specific context.
I mean, I think that Minnesota also wouldn't be hurt by having.
Oh, you're talking specifically for Minnesota.
Mean, like, if for whatever reason Jalen Johnson shows up in the draft, like tomorrow, he's registered for the draft.
Like, yeah, which I think he was actually old enough. There were rumors.
I tried to fan those flames in the hopes that they would decide not to send him to Cameron Indoor Stadium and instead get him in this draft. And they decided this is a better route. I understand, you know, given what happened with his senior year, that he might need a stabilization year. But
I think that's probably right, honestly. Like,
yeah, it most likely is. It's certainly safer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still really undecided on him. I think that he is very interesting. I think this fallback as a big man makes some sense. Yeah, I am maybe a little more skeptical of trusting him rotationally, but the getting up for matchups thing is definitely true. I think that like, yeah, Ben, I mean, you kind of like downplayed that like leaner ability and stuff like that, but I think that that does kind of matter. And it's honestly like one of the self-creation pathways that I like trust for him most at this point in the half court, that like he can actually get to those leaners and kind of hit them.
Yeah. But I think he should be at the rim, I think, but like,
yeah. I'm not entirely confident he can really get there all the time just because I think that his I think that like horizontally he's not as explosive. We've talked with Ross before about how like
his stride length is really small. I think he's weird as a creator. I think he's just weird all around. He's certainly weird. That's kind of why he fits in this group. Like, he's a weirdo and maybe a handler and maybe a big and maybe something in between.
I mean, I do think he's like also considerably better than like everyone we've talked about before.
Yeah, he is. Like maybe barring Scotty in a perfect context, but like the flip side of that is that Jalen Johnson in a perfect context is also very valuable.
Yeah.
But yeah, I clearly prefer him to the other two that we
three.
I don't know, a bunch of guys. So finally, we're going to briefly talk about Evan Mobley, who also is kind of a weirdo combo big.
Super weirdo.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, just the Mobleys, both of them.
A strange group.
Yeah. So Evan and his older brother, Isaiah. Isaiah was a freshman at USC this past year. It's pretty funny because Isaiah is like, you know, brilliant basketball intellect, but can't jump or really move or
score
in any way. But, you know, super high feel, can handle the ball, can pass, like, really just a smart player. And then Evan has the same intelligence and ball handling and passing, but is like
most freakish coordination and mobility.
Yeah, is like an all-time 7-footer mover, and his quickness and smoothness off the ground, his coordination, he's just like insanely does he have a reported 7'5" wingspan?
Yes, that's
like really, in every respect except for strength, he's very, very, very weak and skinny. In every respect, physically, is just totally bonkers, while having this really serious feel and handling ability. He's a total weirdo. I think that he's way better than the rest of these guys, save for Jalen Johnson. I haven't made up my mind on him, but Mobley is way better than the guys that we initially included. I mean, PD, how do you feel about another one of these weirdos in Evan Mobley?
So with Mobley, like, the way that I've sort of thought about this draft is you have Cade at one, and then there's sort of a tier of these jumbo size initiators, and then like overlaid that at like a 30% opacity is just the word Evan Mobley ?
Pretty much, yeah.
His junior season, I was like, this is, you know, like a absolutely ludicrous big man. Like watching him move sometimes, just like nothing will happen on the play, and you're like, that's not supposed to happen. Like it's very eldritch monster kind of way. And then his senior year, he like the only real competition he played was him versus referees on deciding what was a goaltend. Frame up shots where it's like, I'm gonna try to block this at its absolute highest point, and then high school referees would be like, you can't do that. I thought that it was a bit of a lost year developmentally. Because he didn't seem to be as motivated, is not really the word, but like the challenge was not there for him. He could do whatever he wanted when he wanted to. And like there would occasionally be matchups where you got to see like 100% Evan Mobley, but for the most of the time, it felt like he was, you know, future tripping into USC or into the league. I don't know how much he shoots. I don't know what the best usage for him is. You can view him as like a humongous wing. You could view him as an extremely slight center. His rotational instincts are nuts. He'll get shots that you just absolutely have. Like, if you watch certain like baseline views, he just comes out of absolutely nowhere to get it. And it's never with a fingertip. Like, he gets the full hand and just will cup it.
He grabs the ball. He's also the king of keeping blocks in bounds.
And then leading the break. And then and then getting an assist.
Yeah,
man,
it was strange to watch him play high school basketball last year. That's like the best way to say it. It was like,
yeah,
belong there, and he also like gained very little from it. How do you guys feel about the jumper?
Not great.
I don't like it.
Like, yeah. not like, you know, he's not like total non-shooter level, but I am by no means banking on it. The thing that I've like, I think kind of come back, cause like initially I was with you like, oh my God, this guy is an alien, like pretty easy number two in the class. Like he's evidently pretty special. And then I went hard in the other direction because I think the only senior year game I'd seen was the disaster against Sierra Canyon. But now I'm coming back around to the idea that, like, why are we so certain that a non-shooting four can't be a thing? Like, I mean, Zion was just the number one overall pick, and it's not good to comp guys to Zion, and Mobley is very different from Zion. But, like, he is actually a guy who's, like, kind of a once-in-a-lifetime physical talent as well, while also being crazy high feel and legitimately skilled. Like, it's going to take team-building compromises or, like, very attentive team-building to extract value from Evan Mobley, but, like, there is a crazy amount of value to be extracted there. Like, you're going to want to play him with some sort of a shooting five, but what that guy can do in, like, I mean, they had situations with Rancho Christian where, like, he's operating out of horns, and think about all of the options that you have with Mobley. Like, they're then running, like, snug pick and roll with Evan Mobley handling, like, and he can do that, and he can facilitate off of that. Like, it's
pretty, I would say, nuts. He's most comfortable there. Like, that's the thing with Mobley, is that he's not a big who's learning guard skills. He's a guard who's learning big skills.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, he is a great feel for, like, you know, operating out of the dunker spot, and he can just get off the ground so quickly and just smash everything. Like, he can get a quick seal, and it's just a dunk, like, in very Wiseman-like fashion, but his leaping is actually, like, instantaneous. And, of course, he doesn't...
His hands are, like if Wiseman's weakest trait to me is that he has really bad hands.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would love to see at the combine, like, grip testing, you know, do some plate flip or, you know, just see exactly how much pressure you can put on a basketball. You know, one hand, two hand, that sort of thing. Like, watching Mobley, he might be thin, but, like, he does not lose the ball as much as you think. And especially, like, with some of the catches that he makes, like, it just fits into this wide pattern of coordination. The true and absolute tragedy is that after having a pretty up and down, mostly down senior year from a challenge point of view, we now have to watch him play for Andy Enfield.
Yeah. But we do get to see him playing with Isaiah again.
Like, I think that if the USC roster was given to anybody else, I'd be like, man, this is going to be a team I watch every single game of. Like, this is up there with Tennessee for most fun. But it's Andy Enfield. And so now I'm like, I actually don't want this. I'd like, can we just fast forward? Just give me the tape. I don't want to go with the ups and downs of, like, figuring out exactly what's going to go on here. Like, the two of them together are so much fun. And have you guys gone back and watched that, like, TTO Compton Magic game where it was the three Compton Magic bigs going up against TTO? When they had Onyeka and the Mobleys?
Yes, I've seen some. I saw some of those last year.
Oh, going back to watching, you're just like, they had these three dudes on the same AAU.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So for people who don't know, on Compton Magic, they played with Onyeka.
Yeah.
So you had Isaiah Mobley, Evan Mobley, and Onyeka Okongwu on one team. It was pretty bonkers.
Very strange and fun and crazy all at the same time.
But, like, when Isaiah was still in high school on Rancho, like, they were the most fun high school team. And this is pre, like, Death Star Montverd. Also, this is just, like, normal, ridiculous Montverd. Like, that Rancho team was so fun. But yeah, I'm still excited for it, even with the coaching there. I think it's going to be really fun. And like you said, like, it's Cade and then these kind of jumbo initiator types that all have their own questions with the like weird Mobley cloud there also. But I don't think I would take issue with someone telling me that they had Mobley too. Like, there are some really, really one of a kind things to him. Like, from an intellectual standpoint, skills and physical abilities, I think he's pretty special. I'm going to have him quite high. I'm probably going to have him as, like, a top five guy, which, like, it's his senior year was in many ways disappointing, and stagnation is regression. But, like, it is surprising to me that he's kind of been so relegated by draft Twitter, given that he is, like, a hyper high fuel guy. I think he's really good. I think he's, like, pretty special.
I think he's like a top seven guy. I've kind of felt that way. Like, he's, yeah, I mean, I've definitely don't think he's like top two or three, but like, I get it. Like,
yeah, I for me, I've just sort of refused to have an extensive Evan Mobley opinion until, like, because he's gonna hit three jumpers in a game and people are gonna absolutely lose it.
Yeah, but I don't even really care about the jumper. Like,
right. I just mean that, like, the flashes that he's capable of putting on film are so wild that, like, I don't, like, if someone were to tell me that, like, they had Mobley won, I can understand why they would potentially.
And this is yeah, like, I mean, that's always been the thing, right? That, like, people have had forever had him above Cade. And, like, I think you're right. Like, the highlights that go around, like, outside of draft circles that I've seen are like, crazy handling things, some shot stuff. And, like, the handling, I think, is a very real skill for him, and the shooting isn't. But I care more about the crazy rotations where he just grabs the ball and then is leading the break, like, and the movement skills and just, like, his feel. Oh, man, there are so many special things to this guy. I think he's a really good prospect.
Yeah.
Listen up, fellas, because today we have a new Manscaped product alert. Manscaped just released the Weed Whacker Nose and Ear Hair Trimmer. Take a look in the mirror and I guarantee you'll see hair sticking out of those holes. It's time to keep your ear and nose hair looking as nice as your clean-shaven pubes. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Weed Whacker. This nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. The premium Manscaped Weed Whacker uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. Its intelligently contoured design enhances the trimming experience, and it's waterproof, which makes for easy operation and cleaning. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com, and use the code armchair. What are you waiting for? Go whack your weeds.
Should we finish up now with our catching eye guys?
Yeah, I'd love to.
So I had a few guys. First, I had Jalen Harris, who's in the 2020 class, Nevada combo guard. I just haven't given him enough credit as a defensive player. I think he's not terrible. Has engagement issues where he's not in a stance, and will die on screens and that sort of thing. But he is pretty engaged off the ball. I think that it's disappointing the frequency with which his, like, digs and stunts and rotations are a tick late. Like, he just sees it just a second late, and I think that'll be exacerbated in the NBA. But, like, his footwork chasing off screens is really good. There's just a lot there that's, like, not terrible, and for a guy who's a self-creating combo guard, I think that's nice to have, and worth noting. I don't think I've given enough credit in that.
What level of shooter do you think he is?
Not unbelievable. I don't love him as a prospect. I'm still relatively low on him, but I think that he's worth taking more seriously now that I think he can kind of hold his own on defense.
Because he's come up on a bunch of like shooting thresholds, not by like by volume rather than by season, mm-hmm. but just like, you know, doing like light trawling for returning guys, and you know, going through the San Diego State film. You know, I've come across moments where I'm like, okay, I might be too low here, or not have him a serious enough idea if he's closer to that shortened sophomore season. Not that he has to shoot 40% from three, but like if it's 38 rather than 36 or 39, I mean, he's like an 84% free throw shooter.
He's a really complete scorer. I mean, beyond the shooting, I mean, just like some of the creation, like the smoothness that, like, with which he drives, you know, like there's so much good stuff as a self creator. I feel like I probably haven't given him enough credit there. Is like he is really like impressive as a scorer at all levels, and I think like he's probably one of the better like pure guard scorers in the class. Honestly, I mean, I think he's up there.
I think that's definitely true. There might be a little bit of Nevada fatigue in terms of what here is 100% real. But I think that he's somebody who is certainly draftable, especially in I think that you can kind of run the gamut of opinions on him, but it makes sense. You guys mind if I go next?
Yeah, take your guys.
Let's go with Tremont Mark. He's going to be a freshman at Houston. And Kelvin Sampson, we trust. 6'4", lefty. I'd say like +3, +4 wingspan. Shot bad in EYBL, but really good in high school. His high school numbers are 60-40-85, where his EYBL numbers are 45-26-70. So a bit of a split. But yeah, really good movement skills. Creates advantage and is super creative. The shot mechanics bug me a little bit. It's across the body, on a hip. He's listed at 6'5 at UH. I was hoping he was going to get to like closer to like 6'6, 6'7 as things went. Because I really like him as a wing rather than as like a one, but, I trust Kelvin to like adjust shooting mechanics a little bit, and that level of spike to high school, Texas isn't really a place that I find distorts shooting numbers that much. I don't know. This seems like a mid-major guy that I've like has jumped out.
Yeah, I didn't really like him the little bit I saw in EYBL. I have not seen him play high school. I think he becomes more interesting when you think of him as a wing. But yeah, I mean, I haven't like seen much of him, so I'm not going to have like a concrete Tremont Mark opinion.
Yeah, I mean, like there's some Bones Highland stuff with like how he moves off of possessions and like his ability to get to finishes. Like he has a lot of like, he gets hit early, he'll clutch and then scoop underhand. So it's like sort of three movements on a finish, and for a skinny guy, like that's pretty remarkable prior perception. So like, I think that he's a guy who's not going to be a one and done unless he, you know, grows dramatically during the year. But for like a 2 year guy in the Houston system, more of a wing with like, in like, he's a guy that for the 2022 draft, I guess, is going to be like the mid-major guy where you're like, oh, this is something. And again, doubting Kelvin Sampson does not end well.
Yeah, you want to trust the Houston at this point. Like,
I would say if you go back and watch, I mean, we're going to get college basketball soon, but if you go back and watch the, I'll send you some of the high school stuff. And it is very interesting the way that he.
Please do. These combos. Yeah, because a little bit of the UIBL stuff to me wasn't very impressive, but
yeah, I didn't like him until people told me to go to the high school stuff and like seeing the market difference in the shooting numbers, where I was like, well, if he's a 20%, you know,
that's significant.
But if it's a, you know, anywhere close to, I mean, it's a 41 is nuts, but like if it's 33, we're still cooking with something.
Yeah.
You want to go next?
Max, do you have anybody else?
So I had a couple guys who showed up while I was watching some Mobley games. Both are Gonzaga commits, Gonzaga freshmen, Dominic Harris and Julian Strother. So Harris plays with Mobley at Rancho Christian. He's just like an impressive guard athlete. I didn't have much of a takeaway otherwise. His shot did not look good. Lower body appeared to be a bit of a mess. Just like was quite an impressive guard athlete. So I don't think a guy this year by any means, but I don't know, someone I just want to see more of. And I kind of getting back to the roots of Catching Eye, where it's just not like a new take on some established prospect, just someone who did something noteworthy. Impressive guard athlete. And then Strother is like a wing who he wasn't like that impressive necessarily, but there were some nice rotational moments on defense, and he's got like a kind of developed runner game, and that's kind of like all he can do because he's not like an explosive athlete or a great shooter. But like, it was kind of like LJ Figueroa-esque, just like lots and lots of runners from a wing, which was like mildly interesting. And I'm somewhat curious to track who he is as a prospect down the line, but again, not a short-term guy.
What do you make of the jumper?
Let me see. What was that, PD?
What do you make of the jumper?
I honestly didn't see that. I may have seen one, and it didn't look great, but I didn't even see enough of them to like thoroughly interrogate.
I kind of like the jumper, honestly. I haven't seen him with Bancho. He's done some pretty good like difficult shot making stuff with Vegas UIBL that I've seen. I've liked some of the shot making there. I thought he was pretty bad in FIBA when I seen him. Played with Curbelo, Puerto Rico, I believe. I didn't think he was very good there, but I mean, somebody I'm definitely interested in tracking as well, because like that wing with some shot making chops and the touch, I think is fairly interesting too. So
the issue for me is that he hasn't been like a good free throw shooter in any of the venues I've seen him. The jumper, it hitches at the top, which to me is like the generally most fixable thing. There's a little bit of he's on the skinnier side, so like he's going to need to develop lower body to put some range on it. He can be a tough shot merchant, but when he gets going, it's like it was one of my favorite shows in high school. It was like the games where Strother just started to make like high runners off the glass. Like he's getting 45. He's going to get 45 on like, you know, 1987 shot selection. And it is a ton of fun. I think that he's going to shoot because I trust Gonzaga's player development. I think he's like a plus four, plus five.
He's pretty long.
Really? Is that long?
Yeah.
I mean,
and I think he's a good 6'5". If not 6'6". So I think that he's going to, if he's a 2-year guy and he can track some shooting on there, that's definitely like a wing to monitor.
I don't think he's going to be one and done.
I mean, oh, yeah. I think he's a 2-year
guy. No.
And the strength is going to help him a lot with the shooting projection. Speaking of guys that strength are going to help, we have a Brolic watch. We might have a champion.
Yes. I'm so excited for this.
God, that picture was ridiculous.
I'm so excited.
Ajax, or Ajax, depending on which pronunciation we're going to go with, is reported to have gained, a dance hall siren here, 32 pounds in the offseason.
Unbelievable.
He is allegedly 212. To me, that he was the best athlete in high school basketball.
Tim or Keon, I mean.
To me, he's a better athlete than Keon.
I think so.
It just in terms of how many different ways he can use it, yes. He's the only person I saw last year pin a shot jumping roughly from the free throw line against like Division I players. And if he gets any more explosive, like if he was playing at 180 and now he's like around 210, I assume he's going to play around 200, you know, cardio trade off, which we talked about before. I believe he was a 0th percentile shooter in UIBL. His junior year, but yeah. He made pretty strenuous
development in UIBL at all.
Yeah.
Like he just didn't shoot, but the reported numbers I've seen from his high school senior season are kind of wild. Like,
yeah. I don't know. I know he has, I've seen game tape of him hitting 5 threes in games, like
Wow.
The jumper itself needs a ton of work. It's 3 motions. It's in front of his face. The release point looks fine. It's the first and second stages of it that are the issue. The passing chops were the thing I was impressed with most.
He's such a good passer. Yeah, I really like Andre Jackson's passing.
Look, I'm not saying that he'll pass Boatnight, but like we might have 2 real prospects from UConn this year, and both of them are just ludicrous.
Well, I like better Boatnight now, but I also don't like Boatnight that much. I know you do, but
yeah. So, Brolic Watch current champion. He passes Matthew Hurt.
but he actually added the muscle. There is evidence, and like he's huge.
He is huge. He worked on the strong neck muscles. That's stands out. Ajax putting on 32 pounds, going from a guy that I was very interested in into like a guy who like might be a world wrecker. Like when UConn plays bad teams, there may be no second half I want to watch more than him at Boatnight.
I already had him like pretty high, like relatively, and I can't wait. I'm so excited to watch UConn. They're gonna be really fun.
Do we know if their injured guys are playing this year? The 2 season ending guys from last year, Polly and Cock?
I think Cock's playing. But I don't know about Polly.
I don't know. Yeah. Hey, I had one thing quickly to talk about. Announced, I think, today or recently that there's a new there's on October 25th there's going to be, I think, a new tournament for high school basketball, the Geico Top Flight Invite. That's in 10 days. And there are some notable teams playing. We have Chet Holmgren playing with Sizzle. Jaden Hardy with Nato, and those two teams are playing against each other. Also have Prolific with Nate Biddle, Silva, Kamari Lands, Mikey Williams' new team is playing, Musa Diabate, Jerace Walker. So yeah, that's just live good high school basketball very soon. Something to be aware of.
Buy Kamari Land stock now. Absolute synergy star from his time at LALU. That's going to be such a fun tournament, and I'm excited to make sure that I have hard copies of every single one of those games, because it might be the highest level competition we get for a while.
Yeah.
All right, Ben. With that, are we cutting this marathon episode?
I think so. Started off on a low, ending on a high. Again, thanks so much to PD for coming on. Follow him on Twitter at AboveTheBreak3. Go read his work. Talked about the heuristic on Monday. Go read that if you haven't. He's done lots of breakdowns on these 2021 guys we talked about way in the past. You can go find those as well. And if you can, go read those.
Anthony Edwards out this week. I had a lot of fun with that one.
Yep, go read the Anthony Edwards one.
Fun in like a sadistic way, or
fun in that I no longer have to watch Tom Crean coach for a period of time, but also like I think Ant is super fascinating, and it was a real intellectual exercise to figure out where I was on Ant after all this time.
Yeah, so go do all that. You know, if you're a listener of the podcast and not a reader of PD, fix that. You can follow the pod at Prep2ProPod. You have lots of fun stuff coming up with the draft. Draft is rapidly approaching all of a sudden, which is a really nice change of pace from what it's been for most of the existence of this podcast. You can follow Max on Twitter at MaxAcarlin. Follow me at Ben_Pfeiffer_. And unless there's anything either of you want to say, we're going to cut it. All right, we'll see you all next week.